All right. Well, welcome everybody back to another special bonus episode here today. I am so excited to have with me a very special guest, a ghostly guest, slightly ghostly, but not in a scary way, in a good way, Mr. Harry Jeppard. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for getting my last name right as well. Not many people do.
Oh, okay. I guess it must be all my hours of reading British literature to help me with that.
That's great. I'm not even sure it's a British last name, but
what is it? Do you know?
I've been told it's Dutch, but don't quote me on that because it's okay. Obviously from a long line of I don't know, dialect.
Okay. Nice. Nice. My last name's Smith, so it's just about as boring as it gets. So always interested in last names. Well, Harry, thank you for coming on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't catch the last episode, but the special little bonus episode that I did with Sam Collins, who is our Scrooge for this amazing collaboration production that we're doing of A Christmas Carol for 2020. Harry Jeppard is here as the character of the Ghost of Christmas Present, which he did an amazing job with, and you are going to get a taste of his amazing talent here this coming Sunday. So it's just a couple days away. I'm so excited. This project has come together so beautifully and it's just it's totally amazing. So Harry, tell me a bit about what got you started with voiceover work and then kind of how you came to find your way onto this crazy collaboration here.
Relatively speaking, I mean, I'm 24 at the moment. I've just turned 24, but I've only sort of delved into voiceover over the past sort of year, which is quite surprising because it's been a lot of my influence from it came from playing a lot of role-playing games and a lot of Dungeons and Dragons and just typical role-playing games. I'm not necessarily like a LARP or anything like that, but about 5 years ago, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons with friends and we just fall in love with the role play. We love getting into backstory and we love doing different voices as well. We love going through the motions of different voices and different elements to a story and then projecting those characters into the story. And we've shed a lot of tears through those stories. We get very, very into it. Some would say too much.
Wow.
So because of that, I sort of clocked at a certain point. I won't say like there was a moment where it ticked, but I kind of just thought, well, I love doing this so much. And it's all about the voice doing role play. If you're doing like Dungeons and Dragons to a certain extent. So I thought, well, I could sort of hopefully project that onto some sort of career along the lines and down the line. I won't say that like, bam, I've hit it. Like right now, and I'm doing all this sort of like stuff. I'm trying to hit those kind of those stepping stones towards perhaps a career to it.
Right.
And then I think, I mean, I listened to your other podcast as well with Sam. It was really, really great. And I think it was very much a similar sort of, I was kind of just looking, and I think a lot of things that people can get wound up with or wound up into is you apply to loads and loads and loads of gigs. And it gets to a point where you can't, you don't give up hope, obviously. You're just kind of like, cool, I'll put this out, I'll put feelers out. But you don't expect 10 out of 10 to get back to you. You don't even expect like 99 out of them to to come back to you. But then there's that one that does. And I think I sent you over one of my reels. I did a couple of audio like character reels about a year ago. And I think I sent you those. I think that's what you got. And then you must have thought they were good enough.
They were definitely good enough. Yeah, I think that's about how it went. Yeah, and you're totally right with voiceover work. It is so hit and miss. It is not just like, oh, I applied for this and I got it. It's constant putting stuff out there and dealing with that rejection can be tricky for sure. But I'm very glad that you continued putting stuff out because I think this connection was just perfect. Your voice for the Ghost of Christmas Present was perfect. Another question I want to ask about was just kind of your connection to A Christmas Carol. Is that a book you'd known about? Was it kind kind of new for you, or what's your experience with Dickens?
I'm originally from Kent, and we had a place in Chatham, I think it was, which probably means absolutely nothing to you. Frame of reference. But there's a place called Chatham, and they have a Dickens world there. And I actually worked there for a tiny bit. And what would happen was you would, it's like a tour guide place, and it was set up like the town of London in A Christmas Carol, in that world. And you would have these tour guides who would dress up as Dickens characters. My friend, who was like a full-time worker there, would always dress up as Scrooge, and he would kind of be the character of Scrooge and just take you on a tour and give you facts, tell you a bit of history, and then obviously roll with the punches if some of those people who you took along with the tour kind of gave you questions, and sometimes they get like people trying to throw you off guard. I'd do a few events there where we'd all come up with these like Dickens world-esque characters and sort of portray them in like a murder mystery or just like a dinner party. So I've been a fair bit of a fan of Dickens, but in terms of A Christmas Carol, I've seen, who hasn't seen The Muppets Christmas Carol? I mean, that's kind of like a massive staple. I think that's where my frame of reference kind of comes from. I did see the Jim Carrey one. I did see the fully animated one. But I think for a lot of people, when you see A Christmas Carol and then you see The Muppets Christmas Carol, you kind of don't go back. It's like, that is, for me at least, that's a staple. But I mean, they just knock it out of the park with that one. But no, I really enjoy the story. It's kind of one of those that doesn't get old. And it's kind of, and it's with a lot of, I guess, Christmas movies and pantomimes, it's that thing that when Christmas rolls around every year, you're still not sick of seeing or hearing about those stories, and you kind of you don't go oh, this again. You kind of go, oh, this is when we listen to this again, and everyone's just has this mutual agreement for that, which I think is really great.
It's tradition. It's just a beautiful tradition. Like, if you didn't have, you know, sparkly lights on Christmas time, like, what you gotta have it.
Like, who are you?
This is exactly. What are you doing? I guess The Muppets, definitely a high bar. Hopefully, you know, with this production, we've come somewhere near there. We'll see. So with Christmas on that topic, do you have a favorite Christmas memory? Just something that is sticks in your mind as a great thing that always, when people talk about Christmas, always comes to mind?
So when I think this, I must have been about five. My dad probably knows it better than me. But when I was about five, me and my family, we went to Lapland, which I think is in Greenland. I think I looked at it recently, and I think that's over in Greenland, isn't it? Something like that.
Is that Greenland, or is it Sweden?
It might be Sweden. Someplace with loads and loads of snow. But yeah, we're over in Lapland, which is kind of like, I guess, a Christmas purposeful like holiday place. And it was like inches and inches of snow. There was reindeer all about and all the kind of cliches. But the specific memory was, I think it was the final night we were there, and it was like, Santa's going to come and give you all presents. And I was obviously five. But I think even at five, I was kind of like, aware that there were loads of Santas, because I'd always seen them, you know, in the shopping center. Your uncle always came in here. Yeah, well, he gets around, but like, he gets around fast, but you'd always have like your uncle who you'd know it was your uncle, and he came in the front room and like did that. So I kind of been like, cool, so this is that. But then we had a night where all the kids kind of sat round in this like campfire of a room, on this like fireside. And then this Santa walked in, and he did like obviously look the real deal. He did look very legit. But the thing that got me was that he was announcing like kids' names, and he was saying, Lucy, can you come up here? And he just like, he didn't have a list or anything. He just knew all the kids' names. But then there was another kid called Harry, who I'd made friends with. And my dad had said to me, right, you're Harry one. And he said to the other Harry, you're Harry two. And he and the Santa, like, obviously this was all too real to me. The Santa had said, oh, Harry, it's your turn to come up and talk to me and get your present. And I started to go up and he went, oh, sorry, I meant to say Harry too. And my face, whoa, just like my jaw dropped because I was like, there is no way he knew that I was Harry one and like, whoa, that was Harry too. And so like I was stunned. And that, because of that, I believed in Father Christmas for years and years and years after that, because I was like, there's no way he knew that it was not supposed to be me coming up, and that he got it wrong and he actually knew. So it was something else. And I think there's even a video of it. I remember seeing a video. I mean, this was back in 2000 2001, so it's a very blurry video, but I do remember my dad having something.
That's so cool. Nice. That is, yeah, I can imagine that's a pretty magical memory there. That's cool. Awesome.
It's magical, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's this is what I love about Christmas. It's one of those times where I think everybody just feels a little bit more like a kid. And I think that's why Christmas Carol is just such a perfect fit for time like this, because it just kind of takes you back and lets you imagine things. And you've only heard like the small sample that we've done so far as I've been working on producing and everything. That I can't wait for everybody to hear this. It is going to be so fantastic. And Harry, you just did a wonderful job with the ghost, and could not have asked for a better Ghost of Christmas present.
Oh wow, thank you, that means a lot. And especially thank you for being that one in 100 that that took me on for this project.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Awesome. Yeah. So glad we were able to connect. And people, listeners, thank you so much for checking out these bonus episodes. I hope they're fun. Just kind of wanted to introduce you to the cast, because I always thought it was kind of cool when you get kind of a director commentary and that sort of thing. So maybe one last question, Harry, is just what was your favorite scene to do there as the Ghost of Christmas Present? Did you have a favorite line or a favorite scene that was just a lot of fun for you to do?
I really like the sort of the ending and kind of the climax of the Ghost of Christmas Present. Because ooh, I think one of your pieces of advice for it was he starts off very jolly, but he gets very stern very quickly. And he kind of has this no-nonsense approach, even though his demeanor suggests that he's very easygoing. And so when he kind of goes into this darker place and takes Scrooge down this darker sort of atmosphere, doing that and kind of, because the voice is very heavily Scottish, and it kind of goes into this raw, gritty sense of Scottish, right, very like Highlands sort of based. I quite like doing that. I mean, who doesn't love a Hagrid-esque, like,
there you go,
anger to it?
Yeah, no, that's, oh man, I'm getting goosebumps. I can't wait. This is so exciting. People, make sure to subscribe to the podcast if you're not subscribed already. The first episode of the Christmas Carol audio drama is coming out here this Sunday. We're taking a break from Sherlock. We've been doing the Hound of the Baskervilles, and we're taking a break from that. We're going to be doing this audio drama of A Christmas Carol. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this, and I'm pretty sure it's the coolest thing I've ever done, and I'm so honored and thankful for all the awesome folks like Harry coming on board and just volunteering their time. This is a complete labor of love, just type of thing, because we're doing this in support of Operation Christmas Child. So if you don't know what Operation Christmas Child is, go check out their website. And while you're there, leave a donation, and then you can just email anotherworldaudiobooks@gmail.com your receipt of the donation, and I will put you on the list to get you a copy of the full version of A Christmas Carol when we have it all ready to go. So thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time. Thanks again, Harry. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
When I was in school, I absolutely hated writing. It wasn't until I was a bit older that I came to understand the power of words. If you're a business owner, you understand that power too. A business blog, when done right, can drive sales, increase revenue, and get you more customers. But as a business owner, you probably don't have the time to do all that writing. Plus, if you're not a copywriter by trade, you might feel like you're just kind of throwing words out there and they're not actually accomplishing anything. The good news is, there's a simple solution. Check it out. I call it the Ultimate Blog Post Checklist for Businesses with Online Stores. This checklist will allow you to write better, more effective articles that convert readers into buyers. It's full of easy-to-follow examples to get your creativity flowing based on experience of nearly a million words written, and best of all, it's effective on any type of article in any industry or niche. I've successfully used this exact checklist on topics from pool table reviews to investment advice. Tired of spending tons of time writing stuff that doesn't convert? This checklist will change that by giving you highly effective blog posts and articles that transform readers into paying customers. Go to invicta.enterprises/free checklist and start saving time and transforming your writing now. That's invicta.enterprises/free checklist.